firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you, sweet Jesus, for all that you have done. Thank you, Lord, for coming to this earth, for giving up your throne for a period of time, from the richness of your throne to the poorness of a child, the humanity that you took on, for the sin of this world that you took upon yourself, so that we would not have to live in this sin any longer, but we have you to thank for that. And God, I do know that you're on the right hand of God today, interceding for us daily. God, be with us. Help us, O Lord, as human beings, to follow what you would want, the path that you would want, God. I pray this in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I want to ask a question today, and something was, you know, this was a kind of a survey that was done. What do people believe about the birth of Christ? A few years ago, Newsweek magazine conducted a poll asking some questions about Christ and his birth. And here are some of their answers. Now, understand, this wasn't just recently. This was a few years back. I'm sure that poll has changed dramatically in today's world compared to even then, a few years back. But in that poll, it said that 67% of the people that were polled believed the entire story of Christmas was historically accurate. That is good. 24% believed that the story of Christmas is a theatrical invention. Now, you got to understand, that was a few years back. If I would take a look at that, probably if that poll was put out today, I'm sorry to say, it would be a different situation. It would be 50 or even less percentage of people believing in the story of Christmas and the story of our Christ and his birth. You know, too many things are happening in our world today that are changing that story up and making it more disbelieving. every tragedy in this world that takes place draws Christianity back for a while. The problem with it, it doesn't stay with us. That's the problem. That's the problem. The question was also asked, if Jesus was never born, people believe there would be 63% less charity, 61% less kindness, 59% less personal happiness, 58% less tolerance, 47% more war. Some sobering things to think about if Jesus wasn't here and was never born. Sometimes the things that should be natural to us are ones that we struggle with the most. Celebrating Christmas should not be something that we have to work at. So many people, that's what they do for Christmas. Like the rest of the world, celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior should come natural to every one of you. It should be natural. You should be looking at it at a different perspective than the world looks at it. It should be something that should be instilled upon you, not just at Christmas time, but I believe every day. Because if we didn't have the birth of Christ, we would not have salvation. And all these things you hear about would be completely reversed. There would be a lot more war. There would be less charity. There would be less, tolerance in our world. There would be people out there, if they didn't have the Lord Christ as their Savior, they would in turn cause more war, cause more strife. There wouldn't be the happiness that we have in knowing the Lord. I don't care if you're, I don't care if you're the worst Christian in the world, you still have that happiness of knowing who your Savior is, right? And that's the worst Christian. I'm not talking about the best one. I'm talking about the worst one. At least he has or she has the conscience of knowing who Christ is and what Christ has done for them. That's something we have to realize and understand. No. So to this morning, I want to take you through a little point on this. How do we celebrate a Merry Christmas? How? Have you ever had to assemble something that you bought at the store? If you want it to work the way it's supposed to work, you better read the instructions. And you better know the main part or the main thing of what that product that you're buying is supposed to do. Don't do like me. Put it together first and then read the instructions. Us men, we have a tendency to say, we don't need instructions. We know how to do it. And when we put it together and it doesn't work the way it's supposed to, we finally figure it out. Where's those instructions? And we hunt them down and try to figure out, okay, that's where I went wrong. Don't assume you know what you're doing. Look at the instructions. Well, let me take you through this scenario. Luke 2, verses 15 and 16 says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. You got to understand what the shepherds did. They heard the instructions, right? Now, they didn't have an instruction manual. They had the angels. Golly, that's actually better than having an instruction manual. They got instructed from angels. I mean, I think I'd like that better than reading them an instruction manual. Because sometimes those instruction manuals are Greek. Right? Come on, man. Be with me now. You know what I'm talking about. They were instructed by the holy angels on what to do. They listened to their instructions. Now, they could have said, well, I know what I'm doing, and they could have went on and done their own thing. But they listened. The most important thing I think we need to do is listen. They followed the instructions that were given to them. They investigated the facts, right? They could have said, well, I don't believe this, and didn't do nothing, but they investigated. They said, let us go see. Let us go see if what these angels are saying is true. So they investigated the facts, okay? Many don't know what Christmas is really about because they have not taken the time to investigate. Christmas to a lot of people is nothing more than gifts, nothing more than Santa Claus, nothing more than seeing the sleigh with reindeers driving it. That's Christmas to so many people in our world today. Christmas is so much more than that. So much more. We have to investigate. The best way I know to investigate is through this. Read the Word of God. Find out what it says. And if we have to, you know, we need to understand that the Word of God is true. You can take this Word of God. When we say that God doesn't talk to us, and I've heard that from so many people, I never hear the Word of God. He doesn't talk to me. I must be deaf. I said, well, do you have a Bible? Yes. Do you read it? Sometimes. Oh, that's a problem right there. Get open, read that Bible daily, and I'll tell you something. When you're reading the Word of God, you're reading that Bible, you're reading God's words, and God is talking to you through His Word. So never say that you have never heard God speak to you, because He speaks to you every time you open up His Word and read it. Every time you do, He reads it. It said that they hurried to Jesus. They hurried. You know, too many people today go from what they understand or investigate, they get it from TV. What they get from Christmas is not really what they're understanding. They get it from what others say about Christmas or what they see on television, right? Or movies. They're not getting it. They're not doing their own investigation. They're doing their investigation from what they see or hear. Well, it says that the shepherds, what they saw, what they heard from the angels, they wanted to investigate to see if it was true. So they hurried to find Jesus. Where did they find Him? In the midst of a very unlikely place that you would think you would find the Savior of the world. They found Him laying in a manger. A Merry Christmas cannot be found in the mall. I need a few more amens on that one. Merry Christmas cannot be found in the bar. Right? Many people today at this time of season, that's where they find their Christmas. Is either in the mall or in a bar or somewhere else where Jesus will not be. Jesus is not in the bar. He's not in the mall. He's not that little white guy with a nose and a beard that all these kids sit on. Come on. He's not. It can only be found, Merry Christmas can only be found where Jesus is present. And I'm not telling you that Jesus couldn't be present in a mall. I don't know about the bar, but possibly in the mall. You can, you know, people that are born again Christians, you need to go to the mall. You have to buy the gifts and everything. So He might be there, okay? Carolers singing in the mall can bring Jesus to that. But Jesus is not present in the mall just to do that. You don't need to have a lot of money to have a Merry Christmas. Notice that they found Him wrapped in swaddling clothes. Not real expensive paper, no ribbons, no bows, but very basic, very basic. If you found Jesus, that is all you need to have a Merry Christmas. If you found Jesus, you found Christmas. Amen. Luke 2:11 says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The main part of the Christmas celebration is who? Well, some of you got it. That would be so much ringing out, you'd be louder than the wind outside. Jesus! Jesus! If you found Jesus, you found Christmas. If you share Jesus with someone, you have given the best gift of all. It's not all about the gifts that you give, even though, you know, in our day and age and world we live in, people look to the gifts. But if we can give Jesus to someone that doesn't know him, just that's the best gift they will ever receive, is salvation. That is the best gift. We need to encourage others to celebrate with you this birth of our Lord. Luke 2:17 says, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. When they were told of it, they kept it to themselves." Let me say that again. When they knew Jesus, when they were told of his existence, not only did they run to try to find him, to find out it was true, but when they found it was true, they went to him, they found out it was true, they didn't just stay there, they went around the whole area and widely told, "I found the Savior." They told. When you get something great, hopefully you just don't hold it onto yourself and hide it. You know, you want to share it with everyone. The greatest gift that you could ever receive is your salvation in the Lord. And having that great gift, hopefully you don't hold on to it and hide it. But you want to spread that news, spread that gift, so that others will receive what you have. Show others. This is what the disciples, don't keep it to yourself, but share the joy with others. Your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors, and your enemies. Because they're only enemies because they don't know. Once they know, they can turn from an enemy to a friend. Once their eyes are opened to a Savior. Take time. This morning, this week, this time of season. Take time to think what God has done in your life. Take time to think about it. Luke 2:18 says, "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Do you understand? This is what's going to take place in our society. When we take the initiative to share what we have. I heard a great testimony about the two ladies that came about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. We talked for almost an hour yesterday. And in the midst of her talk, she told me of her friend, the one that had the oxygen. She and three of her siblings, her brothers, I think it was her mother too, had MS, multiple sclerosis. And were prayed for, all three were healed of this disease. All three. She told me of the story of her own life, of what she's gone through in her life, and how she has turned so many things. She's only been saved 3.5 years. And you know, she went to a Women's Aglow service. A lady came up to pray for her. And as she was praying for her, she said she felt butterflies inside her. And she felt different. She felt so good. And she says, that was a time I really believe that I was filled with the Holy Spirit at the Women's Aglow. And she went to some Methodist thing the following week, and the lady looked at her and says, there's something different about you. She gave her experience. She says, I know. You were filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will, and this was told by a Methodist person, and you will never, never be the same. This was told. And she read up about the Methodist Church and Wesley, you know, how the Wesleyans, and how it was, there was a baptism of the Holy Ghost back then in the Methodist Church. It's gone by the wayside now, and they've, you know, so many churches today have taken that experience of our baptism of the Holy Spirit and put it down into a little box. You cannot put the Holy Spirit in a box. He's a gentleman. But being a gentleman, he also knows when he's welcomed and when he's not. We had a great conversation. Hopefully she'll come next week. But she has cataracts, and so it's very difficult for her to come. I have a question. What if we didn't have Jesus? What would the gifts be like? Or would the gifts in the world really make a difference in your life without Jesus? I mean, I understand gifts. Don't get me wrong. I understand. Don't give the pastor a gift now because he doesn't want one. No. I understand gifts. But I also understand the giver. The giver is Jesus. Jesus. He's the giver. And that's who we have to look at. So sometimes the true meaning of Christmas gets lost in all the commercialism of the holidays. And that's true. And it's getting worse. It's not getting better. You know, now they're good, now they've got all this internet stuff and all this Black Friday. We got Green Wednesday or whatever. And Cyber Monday or Sunday. And, you know, you get all these things that because it... And I have to understand, because I was in retail, this is the year that they make their money. I understand that. I'm not going against that. But we can't lose the true meaning. Yes, there is. So what he's done, he's reversed it around. And I will say this about what our adversary has done. He's reversed it now and made Christmas more commercial, more about the gifts than the giver, more about everything except Christ. He's taking Christ out of it. What are we now? It's no longer Christmas. In many instances, it's Xmas. Mm-hmm. Or enjoy the season's holidays. Where's Jesus at? Where's Christmas at? Where is all this? We've taken Jesus out of the picture. I will tell you something. The message was clear by those shepherds, and it stuck wonder in the hearts of those that heard the story of Christmas for the very first time. We need to take time to read the story of the first Christmas. And I believe we should take time every Christmas to set the family down and read the story of Christmas. Don't throw anything out or put anything away. You have to understand that. We must not put Jesus away as we do with the ornaments every year after the holidays. Keep Christmas in our hearts every day. Luke 2:19 says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She kept them. It didn't go away. It didn't go to Wonderland or whatever. It stayed with her. She kept them. Kept means that she didn't forget, but remembered constantly the birth of Jesus. That's what it meant. Kept meant that. That she kept that birth in her heart. She kept it. It wasn't something that happened and was gone. It was something that she pondered every day, I believe, of her life. It was that so special to her that she knew that she constantly thought about it. Every detail that surrounds the real story of Christmas is important and must not be forgotten or substituted for a cheap imitation. Kept also means to observe as in a tradition. It's good to observe traditions such as Christmas that reminds us of God's blessings. It's good to remember that. It is a tradition. Christmas has been a tradition. They're never going to get rid of Christmas. It'll always be there. We might lose the meaning. We might lose the meaning of it. We might become so commercialized, and we are, of losing the true point of Christmas. That's where the problem is rising. We need to get back to the meaning. We need to get back to, like Mary, she kept pondering this every day. Every day throughout her life, she pondered what had taken place in the birth of our Lord Jesus. We need to keep that. If nothing else, we need to ponder it. We need to keep it in our hearts, keep it in our minds, keep it in our souls, and ponder it. And I believe, like the shepherds did, we need to go and tell it. Go tell it. Go tell it. To the highways, to the byways. Let people know. You know, this is a great time of season to be able to minister about Jesus. Because people are more apt to listen now than they will during summer. Right? Because this is the season. It's a tradition that I think we can make that tradition more open. And lastly, I want to say, don't stop until the job is done. Verse 20 tells us, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. Christmas is something that we should celebrate all year long, not only in December. Don't allow the fast pace of the holidays and the unbiblical views of others to influence you or detract you from being able to celebrate the real Christmas for you and your family this year and all the years to come, until he returns. And I notice a few people listening to what's going on outside. The wind is blowing. Sharon, why'd you sing that song? Take this year, and I hope that it becomes more of nothing, just not a memory, but keep it and ponder it in your soul and in your life. And then take what you have. And, you know, the best gift that you can give is not that $100 or $200 or $300 gift that you buy at the store. The best gift that you can give is the gift of Jesus. The gift of Jesus. Take that with you, I pray. Let us pray. Sharon, close us in prayer.